From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns has recently begun a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that will take us from Christ's baptism through His sacrificial death on the cross and His glorious resurrection from the dead. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon from his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Safest Place. The text is John chapter 10, verse 28, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We believe in the eternal security of the saints. First, because they are Christ's, and He will never lose the sheep which He has bought with His blood and received of His Father. Next, because He gives them eternal life, and if it be eternal, well then, it is eternal, and there can be no end to hell and heaven and God. If spiritual life can die out, it is manifestly not eternal life, but temporary life. But the Lord speaks of eternal life, and that effectually shuts out the possibility of an end. Observe further that the Lord expressly says, They shall never perish. As long as words have a meaning, this secures believers from perishing. The most obstinate unbelief cannot force this meaning out of this sentence. Then, to make the matter complete, He declares that His people are in His hand, and He defies all their enemies to pluck them out of it. Surely it is a thing impossible, even for the fiend of hell. We must be safe in the grasp of an almighty Savior. Be it ours to dismiss carnal fear as well as carnal confidence, and rest peacefully in the hollow of the Redeemer's hand.
The fishing nets were empty when they first saw the Lord. All night they had been fishing in the waters by the shore.
The Lord said, Go to deep waters, cast your nets once more. And because they obeyed, they would never be the same. Go to deep waters, deep waters, where only faith will let you go.
Their nets and almost before they could begin,
their nets were overflowing, and they had to pull them in. And though this was their greatest catch, their fishing days would end. For they abandoned all when they heard the Master's call. Go to deep waters, deep waters, where only faith will let you go. Go out to deep waters, deep waters. Blessings of faith will overflow. Blessings of faith will overflow. Go to deep waters, where only faith will let you go. Go out to deep waters, deep waters. Blessings of faith will overflow. Blessings of faith will overflow.
In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled, "The Case for United Prayer." Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with Satan's diabolical purpose in the temptation of Christ, part of this series in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen that the Lord Jesus refused to use his divine power to satisfy his own needs. That is, he would not do something that his redeemed people could not do. So great was and is Christ's identification with his people. In daring Christ to cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple, Satan was attempting to get him to circumvent the cross and all that that meant, including the devil's own defeat. From the Savior's temptations, we learn that God can and does test believers in order to prove their love and their trust in him to provide for them. In addition, Satan wanted Christ to prove his eternal sonship without Calvary, for the devil hates blood redemption. Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message, Satan's diabolical purpose in the temptation of Christ.
In this matter of getting rid of hunger, being able to command the stones and they be made bread, and surely the suggestion is ultimately not just for yourself, but can't you do it for everybody else then? This proposal is that Christ would jump straight to the power and to the glory without setting up any kingdom of grace and any kingdom of holiness. And that's the subtlety of Satan's temptation, but it's also the strength of Christ's refusal. That again has vast ramifications for the church. The Church of Christ is constantly tempted in this very point, just as her master was. We are constantly being called upon to focus upon temporal needs, to alleviate human suffering, to alleviate social evils. And we are constantly being bombarded by various passages of Scripture from the Old Testament particularly, about, usually they have been passages written to Israel, about circumstances within Israel. They're transplanted then to the world, and we are told you've got to feed the hungry, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Now those are good things. Those are obviously not evil things. But any suggestion to the Church of Christ that it makes a social program its number one focus, that it divorces that focus from the task of preaching the gospel and winning souls for Christ, is of the devil. Any proposal to make men happier without leading them to holiness by faith in Jesus is precisely the temptation that Christ refused in the wilderness. Sure, feed the body. There's nothing wrong with that. And I don't mean that in any dismissive fashion. I say that as, and I don't want to sound boastful about this, but I say that as someone who, for years, in Northern Ireland, led our young people's movement in raising thousands upon thousands and thousands more of dollars to send out to needy parts of the world. But we always sought to tie it in with a ministry of the gospel, so that the alleviation of human suffering was the extension of the alleviation of the curse of sin. Satan's temptation ultimately to Christ in this first temptation was to abandon faith and trust in the Father. That's obvious from Christ's reply when he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." I should say in passing what this does not mean. This does not mean what most people take it to mean. That is, we need food for the soul just as much as we need food for the body. That we need spiritual food as much as we need physical food. That's true enough, but it's nothing to do with what the Lord Jesus was saying here. The Lord Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, and if you turn there, you'll see exactly why he quotes it. Moses gives us in this passage the reason for divine trials. Why does God allow us to be tempted at all? Well, Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove or try thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Now see the context of the statement, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What's the context of it? The context of it is an assurance that God will provide. What he's saying here is, look, you have wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And the wilderness in this case was usually a desert type of land. There was very little hope of natural provision. There was no way that this nomadic people could possibly sustain themselves. So he says, all these 40 years, I've kept you. Your clothing hasn't waxed old. Your foot hasn't swelled. Think of it, 40 years wandering in the wilderness, in the desert. You haven't even had a swelled ankle. Some of us can hardly walk the mall without having swelled ankles. And I know as far as the men are concerned, if you've had to walk the mall at all, it's not only swelled ankles, broken bank balances and broken hearts. But we'll not get into that. He says, your foot hasn't even swelled. Your shoes haven't worn out. You haven't gone hungry. I have sent manna from heaven when there was no obvious source of sustenance on the earth. So you don't only live by growing corn, milling flour, and making bread. You grow, you are sustained and you're fed by the promise of God. That's what he's saying. And that's what Jesus is saying to Satan. There are stones here. There's no bread. But then, as Israel, I who am the true servant, as Israel was called the servant of God, I who am the true servant of God, I can trust him who said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The old Anglican Bishop Jeremy Taylor had a quaint way, a good way of putting it. He said, God will certainly give us bread. Until he does, we can live by the breath of his mouth, by the word of God, by the light of his countenance, by the refreshment of his promises. If the flesh pots be removed, he can alter appetite. And when our stock is spent, he can also lessen the necessity. Or if that continues, he can drown the sense of it in a deluge of patience and resignation. The more you think of it, what he's saying is true. If God puts us in a position, he'll either meet the need or he'll give us the grace to bear it. So that was the first temptation, a rather subtle attack of the devil. Second was equally subtle. He takes Christ, Matthew 4 verses 5 and 6, to the pinnacle of the temple. I'm not going to get into the fruitless argument of how he did this and how he took him to the high mountain. I have to come to the conclusion that there's none of us knows. We accept that he did it. So he took him to the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Again, notice what he's saying. Give us a sign of your sonship. Do you see now when the Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus saying, give us a sign. Jesus called them an evil, a wicked, and an adulterous generation. They were just like their father, the devil. He saw the connection. Satan was saying, give us this sign of your sonship. Prove yourself. And be acknowledged at once. He quotes scripture, partially. Always beware when the devil quotes the Bible. Always beware when one of the emissaries of Satan quotes the Bible. When I hear an apostate quoting scripture, somebody who normally denies scripture, questions scripture, denigrates scripture and hates it, when I hear an apostate quoting scripture, I know he has no good purpose in mind, and I need to be doubly on my guard. Satan quoting scripture, and he's saying the scripture says God has promised to give his angels to keep you. They're going to bear you up. Can you see the picture? If you just cast yourself down, it will be a mighty act of faith. It will be a leap of faith. The angels of heaven will come and they will bear you up, and all Jerusalem will see it. The world will come to understand. They have to recognize you to be the Son of God. You don't need to take the long, tedious road of suffering, of agony, and of death. When one leap of faith will give you the acceptance of the people. That was the temptation. Subtle way of saying, abandon the idea of a blood redemption. There's another way. There's a better way. There's an easier way. Do you hear the hiss of the serpent? Every time there is a proposal of salvation for sinners or an acceptance of Christ, apart from redemption by blood, you're dealing with the hiss of the serpent. That's always Satan's cry. It's the cry of the Unitarian. It's the cry of the apostate. A Christ to be received without blood. A salvation to be procured without blood. Jesus nailed it immediately, for he saw it for what it is. Thank God Jesus did not come to be born in a manger to stay a little baby for people to drool over in some sentimental fashion. Jesus did not come to be a babe and then a man and simply to live a perfect life and show us how we ought to live. We did all that. But the Lord Jesus came to be born, to live, to keep God's law in its precept, and then to die under the rod of divine wrath and vengeance against our sin, so that bearing our sin in his own body to the tree, by the shedding of his blood, he would purchase our redemption. That's why he came. That's why he came. And that's why Satan made this proposal to stop him. I haven't time to show you how he did it, but if you follow the life of Christ, you'll see again and again Satan making attempts to keep Christ from the cross. Anything to keep him from the cross.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.